Radio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Bonjour, monsieur.
Bonjour, ça va?
Oui.
Did you?
How was... a couple of times. How was your journey?
That went from French to hello, hello, didn't it? Yeah.
Zut alors.
Yeah.
How was your journey?
My journey was... it was all right.
Did you fly or did you drive?
I actually flew this time.
Gosh.
I normally drive. It's 14 hours and I decided to fly this time.
Who'd you go with?
EasyJet.
I lose track on them, but I know that the last time I flew with British Airways and asked for a glass of wine, I was horrified. I had to pay for it.
Yeah, yeah.
On British Airways, which British Airways used to be our flagship.
Yeah.
I had to pay for a glass of wine.
Well, it's horrified. It's not British anymore, is it?
No, who owns it now?
Spanish.
Is it?
Mm.
Yes, well, that's even worse, David.
What, the Spanish?
Well, we've got
what are you saying? She's started an international incident already, David. I mean, blimey, we've only been on air 30 seconds.
Well, because when I fly to... We've got David Walsh on the show today in the studio. David Walsh online. Give him a follow at David_Walsh. I'm saying this now, Paul Andrews, because I'm going to bring him into the conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's fine. Do you see what she did there, David? Do you see how professional she is? She, she slides you into the conversation.
Slick, darling, slick. So when I fly quite frequently to Ibiza and to
Ibiza.
Valencia.
Yeah.
That's very English. He's Irish.
Yeah, yeah,
he
Ibiza.
Does a very good English.
Yeah, we all do Ibiza, though.
So when I fly there frequently, or Valencia, and I get on to whichever plane I'm on going there.
Well, the one that's going there, hopefully.
Usually one with two wings.
Right, I'm on a plane. Where are you taking me?
And a pilot. And they say, what would you like to drink? Of course, I've got to pay. And I go, a cuppa de cava. Want some cava? And they go, no, no, it's Prosecco. I go, we're going to Spain and you're serving me Prosecco. It's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
What is wrong with them? Why am I having Prosecco? If I'm going to Italy, I don't mind having Prosecco. If I'm going to Spain...
She's a terrible drunk.
I want a cuppa de
cava. David, she's a terrible drunk.
Pretty posh, yeah.
In fact, more than a cuppa de cava, I want a bottle of cava.
Or two,
just
even.
Leave the crate.
Yeah, yes, the crate. If I'm going to Ireland, I'd have a Guinness. Right?
Or a pint of whiskey.
Yeah.
Whichever comes first.
Oh, no, I couldn't. I had a misspent youth with whiskey. I used to go out with these very wealthy Libyans, let's say, when I was about 20. And we used to go to all these nightclubs, Arabic nightclubs. We'd arrive at 2 a.m, having got quite, you know, merry dinners and things. And they used to get out the Chivas Regal.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can smell and taste it and have vomited many times after at age 20.
Oh, I'm glad we found out about that. Yeah,
helpful. I now cannot even smell whiskey. Mm.
Explains a lot.
It does, really. You're quite right, yeah.
But they love Chivas Regal. I do love a Guinness. I really love Guinness. You like Guinness?
I love a good Guinness.
So out there it tastes better because of your water.
It's part of it, but it's actually how they clean the pipes.
Mm.
And that's one of the first things I noticed when I moved over to the UK is that they don't clean the pipes.
Mm.
And Guinness actually spent a lot of money in the late 90s, early 2000s, teaching pubs in the UK how to clean the pipes properly so they would actually get a proper flow.
So how do you clean? To get the hard water congealing?
It's actually take the cream and the sedimented Guinness from from the inside of the pipes.
Yeah.
And do any pubs in England do that properly?
Some do. Like I've had a few decent Guinnesses.
Do you get behind the bar when you're there sometimes?
No.
And say, you need to clean your pipe?
Well, sometimes it's like I'd need to give them a slap because they don't pour it properly. But
you see...
My granddad used to work for Guinness.
Did he?
Yeah, at the Park Royal Brewery. He was a site electrician there, bless him.
Was he?
Yeah.
Spark?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I don't drink.
But
I'm teetotal.
I do.
But there's a rumour going around that alcohol-free Guinness is pretty exceptionally good.
Some people would disagree.
Right.
I
haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it yet either. But I was at the Ireland England Six Nations game in Dublin just got in March, where Ireland got the Grand Slam at home, first time.
He's rubbing it in, isn't he? Yeah.
And there was a guy in front of me, and he turned round to. I was by myself, but there was two English guys beside me, and they turned around and says, "Anyone want a Guinness?" And one of them said, "Okay, I'll have it." So he took the Guinness and he took one sip of it and he goes, "Excuse me, is this Guinness now alcohol?" He goes, "Yeah." bloody hell, you're trying to poison me or something. So it wasn't quite Guinness for him.
Right, okay. Yeah. That answers the question, I think.
I love an Irish accent, don't you?
It's very good. Yeah, he's very good at it.
Yeah, he's quite good.
Years of training.
Yeah.
I went once to a pub in Ireland when Shay, our son, who's 27 or 26, his name
is 27.
C-H-E, like... Shea Guevara. He was born in 96. How old is he then?
He's 27.
Is he? God, yeah. I can't believe my nipper's that old. He's the baby of the family, but we went when he was a nipper to this lovely Irish pub, and I can't remember where we were.
Ireland.
I'll have to ask the new husband, but we were in some little...
You don't have to be in Ireland to be in an Irish pub these days.
Truth.
No, we were in a nice little Irish hamlet, and there was a singer there called One-Legged Ted. He only had one leg for obvious reasons. I don't know why.
Well, that was a coincidence.
One-Legged Ted. Why?
Well, he's called One-Legged Ted, and he only had one leg. And what a coincidence for that.
Anyway, so we're all sitting there, and we had Irish stew or whatever we had, you know, something to drink, a bit Guinness. And then all the locals are singing, you know, as you Irish do.
Yeah.
And then he said to me, you know, would you sing? And I said, oh, no, you know, I'm bloody English. I'm not going to get up and sing. And then he said to Che, who was like, 3 or 4, I can't remember who it was. He said, if your mother could sing now, what would she be singing? And I was going, yeah. And he just wanted me to get up and sing to this whole crowd. So I left quite early.
Did you? See, that's how I get rid of you.
Yeah. But they want everyone to sing, don't they? And it's really lovely. It is really lovely. But when you're English, you get a bit embarrassed. Yeah. But great, lovely place. I do remember it. We want to go to Northern Ireland. That's our next trip, I think. Mm. We're going to go in our wagon.
Cool. Nice one.
But first of all, how did you get on in France? How was your recycling? Did you get on well with the recycling?
Yeah, recycling was fine. Yeah, no, we had a lovely time. It was nice to see the family. My eldest son, his wife and my grandson live in France.
How's their house?
And the house is coming along nicely. He's doing a very good job.
Has he got his... heating sorted?
Oh, the heating's been done for ages.
Has he got his toilet in yet?
The toilet and bathroom are all done.
All flushing?
And that's all. He even made the taps. He made his own bath and taps.
Oh, wow. How do you make a bath?
Out of concrete.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyway, all of that's done. He's working on the kitchen now. He's got solar panels in. They've planted up 10 acres of their garden with
hemp.
They have got that. He's growing hemp for, they got pellet stoves, and hemp is the best thing for pellet stoves. But he's growing figs, apricots, maize.
Has he got any animals yet?
No, I was saying to him, you need a pig and a goat and some chickens. Yeah. And he said, well, no, I don't really want that. His friend, Lillian, who lives just up the road, he does animals. So Jamie's got this arrangement.
Lillian is a man?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
It is France.
It's a French man's name, yeah.
Okay.
Lillian does goats and chickens and that, yeah. And pigs. So they've got this reciprocal thing. Jamie does the fruit and veg, and Lillian does the eggs. And
I think now Bear's animals. Five, he needs to have a few animals, you know, little sheep.
But like the pond in their front garden is full of koi pew.
What's pew?
Koi pew.
What's koi pew?
Like giant guinea pigs.
Really?
Yeah, big things, like about 4 foot tall.
Not a fish.
No, it's like
you
a guinea pig.
Koi.
Koi poo. It's a koi poo.
So it's a guinea pig, a big guinea pig.
A koi pig poo is an animal. It looks similar to a giant guinea pig.
I'm going to Google this because
I know
when I'm in Africa, we have the Roc Dassi there, which is like a giant guinea pig, and they climb. They're lovely. They're
But these live in water, and there's loads of them in this
like
pond.
They're like water voles, really.
They're huge.
Like huge water voles.
Not
guinea pigs. Guinea pigs don't do the breaststroke.
Yeah.
You can flush his loo now. He's done very well. You're almost self-sufficient then, really.
Oh, yeah. The house works and they are self-sufficient in most things.
And
yeah.
How's your French coming along?
Oh, terrific.
Yeah? Is it better than Monsange dans l'Arbre?
Yeah, Monsange dans l'Arbre. Bear was teaching me. My grandson's five and he's bilingual.
Did the lovely Amanda quaff some Cremon?
She
Cremon is lovely.
I think so. I don't watch what she drinks.
Only it's my birthday, May 26th.
Okay. That's Cremon, a long way off.
Cremon is lovely. Or Carver, of course.
Yeah.
But Cremon is lovely because it's made in the champagne method, but they can't call it champagne because it's not made in champagne. So Cremon is one of my favourites. And what did you eat there?
Food.
Yeah. Do you have any frog's legs?
T- Did I have what?
Frog's legs? Or is it just the way you
No, I didn't. I in fact, my favourite is scugger. I like snails, but scugger. I didn't have any.
Oh.
We ate at a street market, which we quite often, they have the, most villages and towns have street markets all the way through the summer where they have street food vendors and what have you. And we went to one and they had this massive, and I mean massive, it must have been, I don't know, 40 gallons.
Melon.
It was huge of snails.
One big snail?
None.
Oh, you mean a whole baguette of them?
Try and pay attention to what I'm saying.
No, you said massive snail.
No, I didn't. I said a massive dish in which they were cooking snails. And I love escargot, but I didn't have any for
Why
some
not?
Reason.
Were you on a regime?
No, I am now, but I don't know. I just didn't get around to doing it.
Not like you.
Yeah.
Renclaude is something I really like out there. Do you know what Renclaude is?
No.
Do you know, David, what a Renclaude is? So when I used to go camping when the kids were young to France, we used to go down to the Côte Sauvage. I'm not quite sure where that is, but we used to go.
France.
Somewhere. It's really lovely. And we used to have Renclaude. So in the forest, the woods there, you'd get a little stall with greengages.
Oh, right, okay.
And they're absolutely beautiful. You can get them here, but they're not the same.
Yeah.
Renclaude.
Okay.
Tell Jamie to grow some as well.
Yeah.
And Little Bear loves you now. He's used to you.
Yeah. He was great. Yeah. It was really cool. Mm. Yeah. All good. Yeah, so we had a lovely time.
Good.
And then we came back. I made a schoolboy error. I've just launched a new business, David, which is a community workspace and business park. And it opened yesterday, first day back. So, of course, I arrived to try and find out what was going on. So I want to say a big shout out to our first members in the Tenterson Trading Post co-working space. Thank you to Ben.
Ben Hur?
No, Ben Elliot, Len, you're nodding, you don't know, do you? Len and Michael. Len is the chap that you dragged around the launch party going, you need to speak to Len because he wants to move in. You need to speak to Len because he wants to move in. You need to speak to Len because he wants to move in.
You were very rude. You turned your back and you harumphed at him.
I harumphed at you.
And at him. And so he's joined Tenterden, isn't he?
He was there.
Well, I need commission on that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
monthly.
Yeah, right, yeah.
I'll give you my details after the show.
So,
he's lovely, Len.
So we launched with four new members straight off the bat, which was lovely.
And they're getting their free coffee and tea?
They are. I even bought some cafetiers. Ooh.
Bought them in France?
No. I bought them in Sainsbury's.
Really?
Yeah.
Splashing it.
Yeah. But this is the point I'm trying to get out, but you won't let me get a word in edgeways, so it's normal.
It's David, you can't hold him back.
I got home on Sunday from holiday. But of course, I needed tea, coffee, milk, and all kinds of things, and cafetieres and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Amanda kindly popped to the shops, to Tesco's, and got the tea and coffee. Mm. And then I realised I had nothing to serve it in because I'd thrown out my cafetiere, and I don't. I kind of remembered I'd done that after I've looked for it for half an hour.
Is this at home?
Yeah.
But you've got one of those Nespresso pod things.
Which is why I threw out the cafetiere, because I didn't need it.
That's quite good, really, because I've got you a present.
Yeah, have you? Really?
Now I've told you what it is.
Yeah, pods.
Might be, might not be.
But luckily, I found that Sainsbury's and Ashford open at 6 a.m.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
did Amanda go on her horse to pick it up?
Amanda didn't go anywhere. I went to Sainsbury's at 6 a.m. and did the shopping for cafetieres and coffee.
For the
Tenterson Trading Post.
But not for your own kitchen?
No, my own kitchen has nothing to do with it.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Nothing whatsoever. It's you that bought up my own kitchen, not me.
No, I just was picturing you arriving home and, you know, in your little French shorts with your onions around your neck and the bicyclette, the velour.
Right. Yeah, right.
I think we need to move on now.
Yeah, I think you do as well. I'll tell you what, why don't you read an email or a tweet or something?
Well, I will.
Do something useful.
Because while we're talking about Cremon and Guinness.
We weren't talking about Cremon, you were.
Guinness, we were. There are plans, this is about Whitstable, where I hail from, David, plans to transform an old beachfront art studio into a microbrewery with tasting and education experiences has been approved. The Whitstable Brewery, owned by the Oyster Company, in other words, the Greens family, is set to start creating small batches of experimental beer.
Wow.
In the empty building, which is a stone's throw from the sea. trying to visualise which building this is. The plans include installing a tasting area, always a good thing with the brewery.
Isn't it doesn't it say it's an ex-art gallery?
Yeah, but the one I'm thinking of on the
seat. I'll tell you where that is.
I'm thinking of is now a little cafe.
Yeah, you know the car park?
Yeah, which car park?
You got the Oyster Company. Yeah. And then there's a little walkway at the back.
Pearson's, where we went once.
Pearson's Pub. Yeah. And then the art gallery's next door to Pearson's Pub, and then there's a car park the other side.
Yeah, could be there.
Yeah, it'll be there. Behind Pearson's, basically.
Yeah.
What's the name of that pub?
Pearson's.
Oh, is it called Pearson's?
The pub?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah, the Pearson's.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
Owned by, what's his name, has been on my show.
Phillips.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen him for ages. He needs to come on the show. Richard Phillips.
That's him, yeah.
The plans include, Paul Andrews and David, the plans include installing a tasting area, which is always a good thing with a microbrewery, don't you think, a tasting area? Where guests can sample creations which will push the boundaries of beer making. Residents have given high praise to the scheme, which will support a heritage craft for which Kent is renowned. Yes.
Cool.
The lovely Greens family.
Lovely. I Trust Assurance, the Speak Up specialists, have tweeted and asked for a Business Bunker shout out. And I'm more than happy to give the lovely folks at I Trust a shout.
Yeah, I saw that tweet. Twitter's been quite busy, hasn't it?
Mm.
Small businesses are going to have a dedicated one-stop shop to go green and save money. And we have a green guest next, don't we, on the show? So SMEs will be able to access brand new government advice and support to reduce their energy bills while cutting their carbon emissions. The UK Business Climate Hub launched on the 14th of August of this year. What's the date today? I don't even
15th.
Know. Oh, yesterday. Includes a free carbon calculator, a suite of new tools to help businesses measure, track and report on their emissions and save money by using less energy. And it offers detailed advice on everything from sourcing products from green suppliers and reducing emissions from freight and logistics to the most cost-effective ways of installing solar panels and electric vehicles, charging points, EVs. Research shows that such measures can significantly save companies on their overheads. Research shows that 90% of SMEs are keen to tackle climate change, but find it difficult to know how or where to start to find the right solutions to reduce their carbon footprint. To find out more, you can go to www.gov.uk, put a little /government/news, and then /one-stop-shop to help businesses save money and go green.
Fantastic.
Alternatively, go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
And the same link will be there.
Everything we mention will be there.
Yeah. Chips and Dinks, they say the sun is shining for a Business Bunker show today. It's sure to be a wonderful day. See, they caught the Irish, haven't they? Yes. It's sure to be a wonderful
sure
day.
Sure to be sure.
Yeah. That's the lovely folks, Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Thank you for that. And Tony.
There's a golf course that could soon be home to 12 new glamping pods. The huts, each measuring 10 by 20 foot, I say it like a builder, 10 by 20 foot, would provide additional accommodation in the Weald of Kent golf course in Maidstone Road, Headcorn. And the businesses, which already have some hotel rooms, said the pods would house golfers on golfing breaks and also allow it to cater for guests at wedding receptions and conferences. So that sounds great. That's Maidstone, Headcorn, 12 new glamping pods.
Yeah, so Weald of Kent golf course. Right.
Is Jamie going to have a glamping pod?
Funny enough, I was talking to him about that.
Has he got room?
He's got plenty of room for that, yeah.
I'd go and stay.
He was actually muttering about building a jeep in his garden.
He should, yeah. He definitely should.
Hmm. Right. Cheesy tunage time. We're going to play some cheesy tunage, and then when we come back, we're going to hear from Derek Skinner. Derek is from Go Green Consulting, and Derek is talking about a scheme he has that is taking grey wastewater and recycling it.
Well, you know Ken Lloyd, our graphic designer friend?
Yeah.
He's got a house that does that. His toilet flushes and all that.
Yeah.
What are you playing, cheesy tunage? Well, I guess it.
Well, you can try.
Never heard of it.
Of course you have.
Never heard of it.
Yes, you have. Just Simple Minds.
Oh, well, like you then.
Yeah. You've seriously never heard of this.
No. You can turn it up however much you want. Romero when that was out.
She gets every single tune I do, and she's done got that. I'm staggered.
Sorry.
Concentrate.
That's allowed. Her.
Yeah. What? You're making excuses.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Derek Skinner of Go Green Consultancy. Derek, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. Lovely to be on the show. Good afternoon, listeners.
Cool. I'm detecting South Africa in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. At least you didn't say New Zealand.
No, you don't know how lucky you are, because Jules isn't with us. And the minute she hears me a South African accent, you will then have to put up with 10 minutes of her pretending to be South African. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about Derek?
Okay. I was born in Zambia a long while ago. My parents left Zambia in 1967 and moved to South Africa, where I completed my high school education, went to university, got a BA degree in a few subjects, went on to get an international teaching qualification, left the education sector after being in it for about 10 years and joined the mining sector in South Africa.
Right.
Where I started out as an education officer, then went on to be database manager.
That's an interesting career shift, teaching.
It was, you know, they gave me all the training I needed. They you know, converted me from teaching kids to adults.
Right.
They gave me so many tools to do my job, and it was probably the best 6 years of my life working for Anglo American.
Cool.
I then decided to branch out onto my own. I had my own health and safety consultancy. I landed up having my own health and safety training company, and made some nice money. Did risk assessments, helped people prepare for international audits, and you know, the normal health and safety stuff, writing procedures, all that kind of stuff.
And was this all still in Southern Africa?
Yes, at that time, yes. Yeah. When I was about to come over here for the first time in 2015. I bought an anger and stress management franchise, got trained up as an manager, anger and stress management consultant. I've since done a couple of courses here in the UK, mental health first aider and advanced mental health. So I've got quite a broad picture out there, really.
Right. Well, you've certainly done a number of different things. that leads us into where you are now.
Right.
You've got some big plans that you're trying to bring to life, and we like the sound of that. So why don't you tell us, first of all, tell us what your plans are, what you're trying to do, and then we'll explore that a bit, if we may.
Okay. All right. Okay. I had this the privilege of going to East London, just up the road from, Stratford International.
Yeah.
Where they built the Olympic Village in 2012.
Yeah.
I came across a wonderful situation where they take grey water from the homes and flats in that area, put it through a whole system of wetlands, and then they repurpose that water.
Right.
They grow vegetables, they water the gardens around the area. And I thought, you know what, I could do this. And started looking at various things. I really need to get hold of people like agronomists, botanists, zoologists, people who are out there who can give me that specialized input, because I'd like to launch a competition either for individuals or groups of young people. This would fit in really nicely to the Duke of Edinburgh community projects.
Right.
Where they either create a pond environment, or if they want to go big, they create a wetland. And if they want to add something onto that, they can start growing vegetables, sell it to the local restaurants, and the restaurants will reduce their food mile.
Okay. So you've come across this piece of technology, presumably, that is taking what you nicely call grey water, which we call waste. I've got to be careful how I ask these questions. when we talk about grey water, one immediately thinks of kind of human waste and bath water and shower water and stuff like that. Does it matter if it's like washing up water, you know, with soap and detergents in it?
The whole wetland setup has several ponds. One is the scrubber pond that deals with oil and anything else that happens to be in, say, dishwashing water or sink water, washing your dishes. Yep. The second pond has microbes in it that deal with fat and anything else that's out there, so that when you put that water, you know, onto gardens or into a food project, the water is pretty close to being able to be drunk, but I wouldn't do that actually.
Funny you should say that. I live out in the country. We don't have mains drainage here.
Yeah.
And we have a water treatment plant. And when I was buying it, the chap that was installing it insisted on drinking the output to show me how clean it was. And he seemed fine. I wasn't brave enough to go with him on it, but it looked okay to me. So I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is something that, you know, the whole school or a whole group of people, in fact, having been a teacher myself and having a, you know, disclosure and borrowing certificate and all the stuff I need to have to teach, it's incredibly difficult for a member of the public to come into a school.
Yeah.
They are tremendously, paranoid is the wrong word, cautious about just anybody coming onto the school, you know, site.
Yeah.
I've spoken to some folks out there and they've suggested I either establish a charity or I go along with some of my other contacts at a company called Qualified Tutors.
Right.
This is a group of tutors who have a whole lot of kids that they tutor various subjects.
Right.
And that could become a community project. Say if there's a whole lot of tutors in the Kent region.
Right.
We get together. There's no red tape in terms of, you know, having to get the headmasters or headmistresses permission or head teacher's permission to come in and talk to the kids. I show everybody my DBS and we're happy.
Yeah.
I'm also accredited qualification. I'm accredited as a qualified tutor. So the kind of red tape that's associated with schools doesn't really matter.
Sure.
This is like on that route. And so that's, you know, having a pond environment, it's not just let's go and see whether there are any frogs in the pond today. The history guys can get involved because they can look at how drainage systems have evolved over time. The mathematicians can get involved. They can do the calculations in terms of the elevations that we need. The accountancy guys, the business guys can put together business plans and development plans. The restaurant kids, hotel kids that are training to become chefs can actually say, okay, let's do a whole lot of questionnaires, put it together, go to the local restaurants, find out what the vegetables are that we need, to purchase, or they need to purchase rather. And, you know, it becomes a multidisciplinary project. It's not just a pond where you chuck a couple of goldfish into.
Yeah, this is one of the things that really attracted me to this. I actually do a program in schools, a careers program called 30-30, and I go into schools and I talk to young students about careers and business. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of your project here isn't just the outcome of it, which is recycling water and growing vegetables. It's all, as you've outlined, it's all the skills that people are going to pick up whilst they're doing this, you know, from project. Yeah. It's just a practical set of things that you're going to do.
Yeah.
That has an academic side to it, but a practical side. And that's what I really, really like about this, because I'm forgive me for this. Me and school didn't get on. I was asked to leave very early, and I was pleased to do so, because I just found dry academia just didn't suit me. I wanted something I could actually do. And this project sites. That's the beauty of it. It is sites.
Yeah.
Those are academically based. You know, they can do all their research. They can they work out the mathematical models and all the rest of it. Those young people that are practical based can do the digging and
the construction of the farm stall.
Yeah. No, I like it. So, what do you need, Derek, to get this off the ground?
Okay. I've set up a crowdfunding page.
Right.
Okay. I can email you the details, or I can call it, I can read it out to you now if you like.
Yeah. Yeah, shout it out. I actually already found it, and I've put a link to it on the radio website.
Cool. Okay, so you don't need that one?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got a YouTube, what do they call it? YouTube page.
Yeah.
It's at Derek Skinner dash GK3J0. The GK and the JO are all small letters, and it's just my full name, Derek Skinner, one word, and then a dash GK3J0. JO, not zero, sorry, JO.
Fantastic.
That's a YouTube channel.
We'll put a link to your YouTube page on the website as well. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So.
And then I also need specialist people to come on board. You know, biology teachers, business economics teachers, accountancy teachers, English teachers. Because, hey, we need to be able to teach the kids who want to put a pond in that they have to write letters to the local council.
Yeah.
They can't just go and find a piece of spare land and start digging and put water in it and hope like crazy that frogs come along sooner or later.
Yeah.
I also need to speak to horticulturalists, agronomists, zoologists, biologists, anybody who's out there that can help us and advise us. And when we get this crowdfunding going, I'll be able to give them some money back for their time. I'm not expecting freebies.
Sure.
But the crowdfunding thing has to run before we can get this going. You know, and then I need restaurants to come aboard. There's a restaurant at the top end of where the Olympic Village is situated.
Yeah.
That particular restaurant makes a lot of money out of people just going in the area. Mm-hmm. All of their profits go towards feeding the homeless.
Right.
And you know, this is huge because it closes the loop. You know, I mean, a Duke of Edinburgh kid has to do some community service.
Yeah.
Why not get some questionnaires together and go and do some of the groundwork?
Yeah.
Because we can't do this without research.
Sure.
You know, I can think of several restaurants in Rochester.
Yeah.
That if we grew vegetables right there, their food miles will be reduced. Therefore, their carbon footprint gets reduced. Therefore, they can actually put that on their website. And it's the flavor of the day at the moment, reduce your carbon footprint.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you're very passionate about this, and that's understandable because there's so many elements to this. And as I just said, there's a virtuous circle here, you know. Being involved in something environmental, it's doing a lot of academic and practical work to make something physically happen. It's growing food, and it's also got the potential, as you say, to feed people that are living in poverty or homelessness.
Yes. And the other thing I'm going to do as soon as I get a wee bit of cash in is I'm going to start writing how-to books.
Right.
You know, so it'll be how to run a farm store, how to construct a farm store, what you need in terms of, you know, getting a swipe machine so that people can pay by debit card. You know, all those kind of, I don't want to call them idiot guides, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's an idiot guide to actually say, okay, you want to put a pond in.
Yeah.
This is what you need. This is the recipe you need to follow that will work for you.
Yeah.
You know, you know, you can use plastic, you can use bentonite. Bentonite, a little bit expensive. Plastic, it can get punctured and then your pond goes for a loop.
Yeah. I think that's – I think the guides to this are important because
that's
someone a template to work with. And But this is how we start this project, or this is how we develop this project. So I think that's important. Yeah. Where are you in that process of writing those books, Derek?
I'm really at the initial stage because I'm looking for funding, you know, because these kinds of things, I've spoken to a number of editors and they charge huge fees to just edit a publication. I'm looking for illustrators. Look, I'm not expecting pro bono stuff here at all. That would be, you know, against everything that I stand for. Because, you know, I don't want a freebie. I want to pay for people's expertise. So funding is really key at the moment.
Right.
As soon as – I mean, I also need an accountant on board, you know, that can actually say, this is the amount in the crowdfunding budget at the moment.
Yeah.
This is what you've spent it on this month. again, their sense of accountability. You know, I'm not in this to be a fly-by-night who's going to make £3,000 a minute and then vanish to the Comores.
Yeah. Look, Derek, your passion is boundless, and we are full of admiration for that. I think what you're trying to do is incredibly important, incredibly admirable, and I can just see why it is such a smart thing to do, especially with schools. So we wish you much success with it. We're happy to help try and promote it. We'll put all your crowdfunding on the radio website.
Yeah, awesome.
A huge amount of success with the project. Please stay with us. Keep us up to date in what you're doing. Yeah, and you know, we'll try to promote it as much as we can. Yeah. But for the moment, Derek Skinner, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show.
Oh, it's been an absolute blast speaking on Paul. Thanks a million. Just a quick last comment. I've actually run a similar competition, and the kids that I was helping, they came second in the Southern African region, and it was based on an archaeological site. And we did exactly the same stuff. We used history, geography, all sorts of subjects. And I was very fortunate to get invited to the South African Archaeological Society to present my paper. Mm. I've also got another published paper that I presented to the American Association of Geographers Conference in April 2019 on, global warming and evidence from the natural environment that global warming is a reality. So, I can mentor people who want to take part in this thing as well. Okay. So it's another service. Paul, I'm not going to hold you up any longer. You've obviously heard a lot more folks to talk to. So thank you once again for the privilege of having your show. And break a leg, sir.
Thank you. We'll speak to you again soon. Take care, my friend.
Thanks.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
That was Derek Skinner there from Go Green Consulting with his fantastic idea to introduce into schools a grey water recycling competition.
Excellent idea. Mm.
Get
the little nippers interested in eco.
Well, as we said during the interview, you know, there's so many elements to that and virtuous circles, you know, and there's so much to learn in terms of doing something like that. So it's so clever. So he's trying to raise money at the moment for a GoFundMe. You can find links to that on the Kent Business Radio website homepage and on today's show page, which is show number 643, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Of course, the best one was last Tuesday, but
was it?
Yeah,
you think so, do you?
Yeah, it was very good.
I'll tell you what, cut the nonsense and read something.
Well, I'm just had a lovely evening with the lovely Neville Gaunt, who's actually not at all gaunt, but had a lovely evening with him and my new husband, and we went to see Paul Roberts, ex The Stranglers, at Balls Brothers. We had dinner there, and I actually managed to find some organic wine there. You never know when you go out, you know, whether you can get a bottle.
She's better than a sniffer dog. Yeah, she can sniff alcohol from miles away.
I said, if you've got any organic wine, there's always a blank look. But then they rummaged and they found some.
They rummaged, did they?
They did. So
you
had
a bottle of rummage.
Glass, and then very kindly, a bottle of the same organic wine appeared on the table, which I...
That was lucky.
Yeah, nobody else was drinking except me. So. Mm. Anyway, Paul Roberts was great, and he did Bowie covers, excellent. And So a huge shout out to Neville Gaunt, who took me and my new husband. It was lovely to meet all their table. We had a great table. We're all dancing. We're all sort of, you know, we're of an age now where I look back at the video and think, is Dad dancing or Mum dancing? It's funny because kids now just do this. Their arm works on telly, isn't it?
I can do that.
They just do that. That's all they do. They just jump up and down. Or my new husband is the moshing era, so he moshes, whatever that is.
Funnily enough, talking about that jumping up and down, my youngest is currently in Istanbul.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and Sunday night he decided to take himself off to a football match. So he went to watch Fenerbahce. Mm. But Stu never does anything by halves, so he bought himself a shirt and went in with the ultras and sung all the songs in Turkish. And I'm going, well, what were they singing about? I don't know. I just joined in. And he was doing his arm punching. I've got a video of him arm punching in the Fenerbahce ultras end.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Turkey, of course, got some fantastic food and drink. I'm sure he's imbibing.
He's having a nice time.
Yeah, I used to have a Turkish au pair. I had two, actually, not both together. And one was Muslim and one was Christian. And so Phyllis was Christian and Tulai was Muslim.
Right.
And we've kept in touch. But they used to sometimes make really nice food. And I remember some of their words. So like Eshak, donkey.
Yeah.
And I hear them on the phone. They go tamam, which I think means good or okay.
It's okay, tamam.
You're fluent.
I've spent a couple of months in Turkey.
Wow, whereabouts?
Istanbul and Ankara.
And do you love it?
Yeah.
Istanbul's supposed to be a really beautiful city.
I really want to go.
The markets there are amazing.
Yeah.
What, the food markets? Or the
everything.
Yeah.
They've got food, they've got clothing. Like, you want a leather jacket? Turkey's the place.
Really?
Oh, it's like butter.
Really?
It's like butter.
Everybody off to there. I want to go. I haven't been to Turkey and I want to go. But anyway, back to Neville. So Neville has been talking about the co-working space on Sheppey with a lady called Kaylee Graham, who's head of partnerships and growth at Telleroo.
Yep.
And she says a huge shout out to Paul Andrews and the team, the amazing co-working space they've created over in Sheerness.
Thank you very much.
On the sun-kissed Isles of Sheppey.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I spent the day there yesterday. This is on her LinkedIn. And thoroughly enjoyed the change of scenery. I had lunch with the wonderful Sue Hainsby and Deborah
Turner
and talked of all things networking, women in business, and how we can support younger women in their careers early on. It's a converted church and has co-working space, meeting rooms, a cafe, and the hot chocolate was incredible. This is obviously when the weather wasn't hot. She was having a hot chocolate.
I have hot chocolate there when the weather's hot. I don't care what the temperature is. Our hot chocolate's to die for.
I would have an iced hot chocolate. Maybe.
Very important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And plenty of space for photo shoots. And there's a lovely picture of her sitting on a beautiful red sofa with her laptop. So well done, that's great. And I'm just seeing if Neville said anything. Tracy Ferguson's on that link as well in LinkedIn. She says, sounds like a fantastic meeting in wonderful surroundings. I'm looking forward to meeting Sarah Marsh Collins there soon, who was my co-presenter last week, and she did a lovely job.
We're very proud of it. It's a lovely space. It's a converted church. The church burnt down, but it's a great one listed building, and the Dockyard Preservation Trust, who own the building, spent £9.8 million and 10 years refurbishing it and rebuilding it, and it is stunning. It's a cathedral to co-working.
Neville Gaunt says there's an old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. These workspaces lay the foundations to get the best out of both parts of the saying.
It's very true. I mean, talking to the chaps that have just started in the Trading Post at Tenterton this morning, and they were saying the same thing, that all of them currently work at home. They enjoy working at home, except they get lonely.
Yep.
And there's no banter. There's no one to bounce off. So they spend some of their time now working in a co-working space to get the best of both worlds. So,
Which is why the lovely Len is now frolicking in Tenterden, because he hated working at home. He said he couldn't focus working at home.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but Len's in trouble.
Is he? What's wrong? Has he burnt the panini?
No. He played for England at football over the weekend. He plays for England Veterans. Yeah. And they lost 1-0, and he scored an own goal.
No.
Yeah, sorry, Len. Sorry to give that away, mate.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and he only lives around the corner, doesn't he?
He does indeed, yeah. Don't we all?
The Sarah Marsh Collins, as mentioned before, says, Jules and Paul, please could I have a shout-out for my Muddy Dog Challenge?
Yes.
It's on the 9th of September at Eridge Park in Tunbridge Wells. It's a 5K cross-country run with obstacles and mud for me and Barney Boo. I think Barney Boo is this dog that's pictured, raising funds for Battersea Dogs Home and Cats Home, I think it is now. And she's used the Bee Bunker hashtag, so she gets 10 points.
Well done, Sarah.
And there's a photo of Barney Boo. Did you notice last week I very quickly curbed the dog talking, which went on.
Yeah, and why did you curb the dog talking? Because you were talking and drinking wine. That's why. We're not stupid, Jules.
Was it organic wine?
It wasn't organic, but it was Kentish. And it was very delicious, yes. Yeah. I imbibed quite a bit on the show. And we had a baby in the studio as well, Erin.
The show didn't last that long.
What? The baby? Wouldn't fit in the glass, but, you know.
Yeah.
So we've got a few. I need to catch up on
right,
that.
Well, while you're messing about, I'm going to do this. Kim Stevens, Karen Kent. She says, hello, I'd love a really, really big shout-out on the Business Bunker Show, please. Do you or your loved ones need a care at home? We provide a local service and we will always arrive when we say we will. Are you ready to get help? Give us a call on Ashford 01233 619 530 or check into our website, caringkent.co.uk. So if you're looking for carers to look after a loved one at home, in the Ashford area, they're the people to go to.
Networking walk, Mount Vineyard. This event is going to welcome local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face, offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships whilst enjoying a lovely walk and talk. The walk will take around 1 hour with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams, our local Kentish solicitors. This is a diary date, so it's August the 25th. 10:30 till 12 midday, and you can all meet in the car park, they say, at the Mount Vineyard in Shoreham. Where is Shoreham?
Near Ainsford.
Ainsford, you're just saying all the.
No, I'm not. You asked me where it was. It's near Ainsford. It's between Ainsford. It's between Ainsford and Otford.
Where's Otford?
Near Farnborough.
That I think Farnborough is in Sussex, isn't
no,
it?
No, there's a Farnborough in Surrey, but there's also a Farnborough in Kent.
Airfield?
And Farnborough in Kent is, guess where it is?
Near Ainsford.
It's near Ainsford.
Or Otford.
Yeah.
Has it got an air thing?
It has, yeah. It's because it's just around the corner from Biggin Hill.
I knew that.
Ainsford is pretty. There is actually a ford there still, which you drive through to get into the village.
How nice.
You drive through the water. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a nice pub there. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, that's because you're teetotal.
Tenterton Chamber of Commerce have been on. Hello, Paul. Hope you're well rested from your break and ready to perform with your little helper. Please can you give a shout out to a busy chamber team preparing for our monthly meeting? Well, consider yourself shouted out.
Well, we've got Claire Sadler. Online digital marketing is a great option as you're already using social media and have a following helping and supporting people. Earning money online will be a great way to pivot. That's to my friend Alex Mitchell, because he sadly lost his leg, had his leg amputated due to the AstraZeneca. And then we've become friends over 2.5 years. And so he, because he was a scaffolder, obviously can't do that with one leg. So he's going mad, not knowing what to do. And he's asking Bunker listeners for suggestions for a new career. He has no idea what. I suggested motivational speaking because he's really motivating. You know, he lost the leg and he never gives up. I think it's great. So Claire Sadler, who's Claire Sadler, I think it's Sadlier actually, S-A-D-L-I-E-R. That's without my glasses. She says online digital marketing is a great option as you're already using social media and have a following helping and supporting people. Earning money online would be a great way to pivot.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so well done, Alex. Lots of ideas coming in there.
I'll tell you what, we haven't heard from Wayne Cunnington for ages.
No, well, I speak to him a lot on WhatsApp. We WhatsApp each other a lot.
Right. So where's he gone? He used to listen in religiously every week.
Has he gone off us, do you think?
Huh?
Has he gone off us?
Oh, I think you must have upset him.
I took him to a lovely Turkish restaurant. I met him. Again, he's another vaccine injured. And we meet up to support each other. And I took him to... There's a really nice Turkish restaurant just by Victoria Station. Can't remember the name, but you can Google it. It was really, really nice, and they really looked after us. Great food.
Classic cars at Kenwood. Classic cars, campers, bikes and scooters are all welcome the third Sunday of each month, so that'll be this Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 midday. It's £5 a vehicle. You can pre-book and it includes tea and coffee. You can call them on 01622 814 187. Oh, there's also bacon rolls or veggie rolls available.
Ooh.
So this is happening all throughout the summer, and the last one in July had a massive turnout of some really interesting cars. So if you've got a classic vehicle of any kind, get down to Kenwood Trust. It's in Yalding, just outside Maidstone, and it's a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions. So all the money collected there goes towards the charity. Ah. Cool.
And there's a Marsh networking meeting. The next one is in East Sussex at the Pet. That's with two T's. Pet Village Hall. It's 10:30 a.m. on the 5th of September. And you can go to www.marshnetwork.co.uk to book.
Fantastic. Tunbridge Wells Networking. Join us on August the 17th for Third Thursday. That's hard to say, isn't it? Third Thursday. Third Thursday's Tunbridge Wells. This meeting is hosted by Gillian Palmer at the Finance and Property Hub. August the 17th, 10:30 till 12, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar to find the booking link.
Sorry, I'm just retweeting Alex. He's had loads of suggestions for a new career. Me and Sarah Marsh Collins are chatting as well. Let's find more.
So I'll leave you to your private chatting, and yes. I'll
read out something.
I'll read out some more things, shall I? Sarah Marsh Collins has said, "What a fantabulous lineup on the Business Bunker Show today. I'm really looking forward to hearing David." And she said, "I could do with some YouTube advice as well." She said, "It's a bit like Excel." No, it's not. It's nothing like Excel. I see. It's a bit like Excel. I can never quite grasp how to use it. And she's talking about the Go Green thing that we've just heard as well. And she said that's exciting stuff and something that the mad scientists at i3D Robotics are involved with as well. So
I'm just going to show David, you're talking about the grass cutting. Look, that's the size of the tractor. We're talking huge.
That's a big boy, all right.
Yeah, absolutely huge. And they come... Well, they came last night, and they're doing it again this morning.
For goodness sake. Best Business Events have tweeted, calling all startup businesses, have you got what it takes to win an award? The Kent Business Awards are looking for startup businesses 3 years and under that are showing a clear path to success for the 2023 Kent Business Awards. Follow them on Twitter. Their Twitter handle is BusinessEvents1. The number one business events one, and you can find a link to put your company in for the new business startup awards.
There's a coffee morning at Kenwood, and that's Kenwood with a WARD, Kenwood coffee morning. It's the last Thursday of every month. There are cakes and savouries available. I would go for a savoury if it was a coffee morning. If it was a tea afternoon, I would go for a cake. The next
Why
one.
Why not go for both?
Well, it depends. It depends how long I stay, I suppose. Yeah. Whatever.
What's left on the tray?
Exactly. I mean, I love a sausage roll. Did you see the pictures of my pork pie?
Yes, I did. And your boiled eggs.
Yeah, they were lovely. The next one is Thursday, the 31st of August, 10:30 to 3 p.m. And that's the Cafe Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, Yalding, ME186. A for Andrew and H for Harry.
Thank you. Right.
Over to the news, I believe, Paul Andrews.
I beg your pardon?
Over to the news, I believe, Paul Andrews.
She's trying to steal my lines now.
Yeah. Because I did it last week, see?
Yeah.
Over to the news.
We're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to David.
Find out what's happening.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.